Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company, and they're all in uniform.
And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
Uncle John, I'm worried about George. He just hasn't been himself since Gordon Cates moved in next door.
You know, Gracie, I think the thing that really gripes George is that Cates has so many more muscles than he has.
Well, that's not George's fault. My goodness, Mr. Cates has muscles growing in places where George hasn't even got any places.
Well, maybe it would cheer George up if you took him out to a movie or something.
I tried that. I took him to see his favorite star, the one who always sends him from the theater with a dreamy, lovelorn look in his eyes.
Betty Grable?
No. Bugs Bunny.
Well, what happened?
Well, we were sitting there in the theater watching Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
I'm a hunter. I'm looking for wabbits.
Wabbits? What's a wabbit?
Well, it's a widow animal that has long ears.
You mean like these I got, Doc?
Yeah. And he's got a widow pink nose that twitches.
Oh, you mean like mine, Doc?
Uh-huh. And he's got a widow cottontail that looks just like a powder puff.
Hmm. Well, mine is 50% wool, but does it look like this, Doc?
Yeah, Willie does. Say, you know something? You look just like a wabbit.
No kidding?
Uh-huh.
Well, come here, Doc.
Yep.
Now, look, I don't want you to spread this around.
Oh, no, I won't tell a soul.
But confidentially.
Uh-huh. I am a rabbit!
George, did you enjoy Bugs Bunny?
No. He looks too much like Gordon Cates.
Hey, that's right. Gordon Cates' mustache looks just like a bunny's whiskers.
It does at that.
Yeah.
I may not be very handsome, but at least I have no features like a rabbit's.
Say, excuse me, mister. You going to be sitting in front of me during the feature?
Sure. Why?
Would you mind pacing back them ears so I can see the screen?
Let's go, Gracie.
Let's sing a song about Susie, that pretty little, witty little Susie, with the big brown eyes and the turned up nose and the big blue bow in her hair. Let's sing a song about Susie, that haughty little, naughty little Susie,
with the dimpled chin and the cutest grin
and the darndest innocent stare. Oh, oh, she's as sweet as a bun, and she's second to none.
And what's more, she's a
bundle of joy and a barrel of fun. Let's sing a song about Susie. You gotta go for someone so divine. But if you wanna make love to Susie, no can do, mustn't touch. She's mine. But if you want to make love to Susie, no can do, mustn't touch. She's mine. Pretty little, witty little Susie is mine.
Now, that's the way it's been all week, Uncle John. The minute I thought I had him cheered up, something would happen.
Oh, poor George. I'd give him the shirt off my back if it would make him happy. But he'd just get mad.
Mad?
Yes. It's his shirt.
Well, now there's another thing I tried. New clothes. I thought sure buying a new outfit would cheer him up, so yesterday we went to one of the best stores in town.
Here are your packages.
Thank you, clerk.
New hat, new shoes, new suit, new coat and gloves.
Well, George, feel better now?
No.
Oh, well, don't worry, dear. Just wait till we get home and see them on me.
Let's go.
But even that didn't cheer him up, Uncle John. I guess he's doomed to be my little sad sack.
Yes.
You know, Uncle John, the thing that hurts me more than anything else is the fact that George never sings anymore. He has such a glorious voice.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Used to be at this time of the morning, he'd sit in the tub and just shake the plumbing. Oh, I used to call him my little soap sub Sinatra.
He is the Sinatra type.
Yeah, say, maybe if we could get George into the bathtub this morning, he'd sing again.
You mean he hasn't had a bath since Mr. Cates moved next door?
Oh, no, no. He's been taking showers. And he never sings in the shower. The drum beats drown him out.
Drum beats?
The water bouncing off his tummy. I tell you, let's see if we can get him to take a bath instead of a shower this morning. It's worth all... Come in.
To George Burns, the biggest headache in the world is the guy right next door, Gordon Gates. To you, the biggest headache in the world can be money, unless you save now. It'll be mighty important to come out of service with a nest egg all your own. To make it easy to save, the Army has set up special savings plans. For example, the $7.50 GI bond, maturing at $10. Or soldiers' deposits. A savings bank of your own, right in your own company, with 4% interest on amounts left for 6 months or more. See your first sergeant or company clerk now, and work out a savings plan to suit your rate of pay. Use your head now, save headaches later.
Hello, Gracie. Hello, Uncle John.
Oh, Harry. Maybe you can help us get George into the bathtub.
Oh, glad to. Does he need a bath?
Oh, of course not.
Then what's the idea of putting him in the bathtub?
Well, have you ever heard him sing?
Sure, but I... Oh, I see. Oh, hey, that's a swell idea. But don't hold him under too long. He'll drown.
George to sing. You see, Gordon Cates, living next door, has made George miserable. He's quit singing. Now, if we can get him in the bathtub, maybe he'll sing again.
Oh, now I get it. That'll make Cates miserable and they'll be even. That's fair enough. Where is George?
He's in the den.
Well, just leave it to me, Gracie. I'll put him in the tub.
But Harry... Oh, well.
Gracie, did you notice something strange about Harry Von Zell?
No stranger than usual.
But something stood out this morning.
Well, he's probably having trouble getting a girdle.
I put the little man in the bathtub. I better be running along now, Gracia.
But, Harry, didn't you put something in the bathtub with him?
Huh? Oh, sure, of course. I wouldn't let him in without it.
Well, sure.
Well, sure. His inner tube. Well, Gracie, I'll see you later, huh?
But, Harry, that wasn't what I meant.
Really? Well, give me a hint.
Well, what has the longest neck in the park?
What has the longest neck? Oh, that's easy. A sailor on a 24-hour pass. Yeah, well, so long, Gracie.
Well, I guess even the bathtub didn't work. George isn't singing.
Yes, Gordon Cates has got his goat.
Poor George. If we could only find one thing that he could do better than Cates.
The April showers may come your way, for they bring flowers that bloom in May.
Where did that come from?
Well, from the bathroom, Uncle John.
My gosh, and poor George is in there alone. It must have scared the daylights out of him.
Well, Uncle John, that was George.
Oh. Well, don't worry, he'll get over it. They're releasing penicillin to civilians now.
Oh, he isn't sick, he's singing.
Oh.
And when it's raining, have no regrets.
Uncle John, that's it. That's what George can do better than Gordon Cates. Better than anybody. Sing. Oh, I've got a wonderful idea. George! Oh, George!
Now, let me get this idea of yours straight, Gracie. We give a party tonight and invite Cates and his friends.
Right. And during the party, we ask Cates to sing. Then while he stammers and stutters his apologies, you rise to your feet, throw back that magnificent head, uncork those silver tonsils, and blast him into social oblivion.
If I could be with you and out tonight, if I would do the things of mine,
oh,
I want you to
laugh. Oh, George, you're solid. Oh, you're solid, sugar throat solid. Come on, let's go over and invite Gordon Cates to the party tonight.
Well, if it isn't the Burnses, both the good-looking one and the other one. Come in, come in.
Why, Mr. Cates, you have on boots.
Well, yes, you see, I've been out horseback riding with the society woman, Mrs. Isabel Randolph.
Oh.
I apologize for the boots, Mrs. Burns. To make up for my appearance, I shall kiss your hand.
Oh. Good thing he isn't wearing overalls.
Look, Cates, we came over to invite you to a party at our house tonight. It's very important to the party that you be there.
Well, now that's very decent of you, George. Not everyone has such a charming neighbor.
Well, thanks.
And tonight I'll be even more charming than usual.
Fine, fine.
Well, I guess that's about all for now, Mr. Cates. Till tonight, then. And we'll expect you about 8.
Splendid. I'll be there in white tie and top hat.
It gets pretty chilly by 8 o'clock. I'd wear more than that.
See you tonight.
George, I just can't wait for the party tonight. That Gordon Cates has been going around holding his nose so high in the air. Well, just wait till he hears you sing. He'll hold it a different way.
I'm sure glad we found something I can do better than Cates.
Not only better than Cates, darling, better than anybody.
Oh, honey, to hear you talk, I can sing better than Bing Crosby.
Well, can't you?
Only in some keys.
Why, you're better than Bing Crosby and Nelson Eddy put together. And what would you have if you put them together? Just two voices with one head of hair singing accentuate the shortening bread.
I guess I won't have any trouble showing up Gordon Cates, all right.
Oh, George, I have a wonderful idea. Isn't Cates trying to make an impression on that society woman, Mrs. Isabel Randolph?
Yes.
Well, let's invite her to the party tonight. Then Cates will make a fool of himself in front of her and get laughed right out of society.
Swell. I'll sing as I've never sung before.
Oh, I ain't got nobody, babe. Nobody cares for me.
Listen, George.
I'm so sad.
George, George, wait, wait. Look here. You just can't sing that tonight.
Why not?
Well, it hasn't enough class. Mrs. Isabel Randolph will be here, and she's used to the higher type music, the classics.
You're right at that. What would Lawrence Tibbett sing?
Well, if this was Saturday night, he'd sing Don't Fence Me In.
That's not a classic.
It is on the hit parade.
How about On the Road to Mandalay?
Well, that's good. Or Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes. That's not only a good song, but a wonderful trick.
I'll pick out something. You run over and invite Mrs. Randolph to the party.
Soon I'll be going where the soft breeze is blowing in Kentucky. Things will be booming when I roam where there's room in old Kentucky. Kentucky, where the sky is blue and the grass is blue and the sunniest style of welcome and smile is made to order for you. There is somebody waiting to begin celebrating in Kentucky. I'm not denying that my heart will be flying when I get to Kentucky. I'll declare it's heaven with all those wonders in store. Oh, Lord, make me lucky when I get to Kentucky. Let me stay there forevermore.
The well-known society woman?
Yes.
Well, I'm Mrs. George Burns, the well-known society girl.
Indeed?
Yes. Now, I'm giving a party tonight, Mrs. Randolph, and I'd like you to come.
Oh, really, my dear? That's quite impossible. I couldn't be a guest in your home unless I knew something about your background.
Oh, we have a very nice background. It reaches all the way to the alley and has two orange trees and a bird bath. But the party's being given in the house.
Not your backyard, Mrs. Burns. I had reference to your social background, your family connections.
Oh, that's important?
Vital, my dear. For example, nothing makes me prouder than the fact that one of my male ancestors married a Stackpole.
Oh, really? All mine married women.
She was a woman. The Stackpoles are people.
Well, I'm glad for your ancestor. Now, how about coming to my party tonight?
Mrs. Burns, you don't seem to understand the importance of ancestors. Now, mine came over on the Mayflower. They belong to that brave little band that sailed to America in 1620.
Mine belong to that brave little band who saw them coming and said, uh-oh, more immigrants.
This is no jesting matter, my dear girl. I am able to give definite proof that I am descended from Patrick Henry.
Oh, that's nothing. I'm descended from Frank Joe.
Frank Joe who?
Well, Patrick Henry who? You tell me Henry's last name, and I'll tell you Joe's last name.
Well, really, I'm afraid I can't attend your party tonight.
Oh, I wish you'd change your mind, Mrs. Randolph. Gordon Cates will be so disappointed.
Oh, will Gordy be... I mean, will Mr. Cates be there?
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Burns... Perhaps I've been a bit hasty. After all, this is a democratic country, isn't it? One must not allow oneself to become narrow.
And it's easy to see that you haven't.
Well, really.
Well, see you at the party, Mrs. Randolph. Arriving any minute now. You'll soon have your revenge on Gordon Cates. Have you picked out a song?
Yeah, I'll sing that stirring song of the vagabonds. Listen to this. Sons of toil and danger, will you serve the stranger and bow down to Burgundy?
Oh, wonderful.
Strength, you know.
Oh, George, that makes you sound like you've got hair on your chest.
I've got hair on my chest. Would you like to see it?
Oh, no, we haven't got time to look for that now. Oh, come in. Oh, well, Harry, you're the first guest to arrive.
Good. How soon do we eat? Boy, am I going to tear into the food tonight.
Oh, Harry, please. Tonight of all nights, watch your etiquette. You'll be sitting next to Mrs. Isabel Randolph, the society woman.
I will?
Yes. Now, watch her and use the same fork and spoon that she does.
Okay. But when it's my turn, she better let go of him or I'll twist her arm. You know, when I'm hungry,
Harry,
I don't...
Harry!
Huh?
This is a sort of a society affair tonight. Try to put on the dog a little.
Oh, well, if that's what you want. I'm a real blue blood, you know. My family is loaded with dukes and lords and earls.
What, no counts?
Yeah, a few of them are no counts, but...
Oh, you mean royalty.
Oh, sure.
Harry, stop clowning. We want you to make a good impression on Mrs. Randolph.
Oh, pip, old pot. Mrs. Randolph and I shall probably say poo-poo to your party. Pop off to a pub and put away a pint of port.
That is, unless she's a dry.
Well, she won't be after you talk to her.
See, here comes Mrs. Randolph up the walk now.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Harry, don't you dare ask her to take a bath.
Oh, don't worry. Gee whiz, Gracie, I know what to say.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Randolph? Come right in. I'd like you to meet my husband, Mr. Burns.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is Mr. Harry Von Zell.
How do you do?
This is an honor, Mrs. Randolph. I've heard so much about your famous family line.
Oh, thank you. I am quite proud of our family line.
Yes, indeed, you should be.
Well, really... This is most irregular.
That's where you're wrong. It happens every week.
Won't you come into the living room, Mrs. Randolph? The other guests will be arriving now, and later we're going to have some music.
Ah, wonderful. I do hope you'll have Beethoven.
Well, we probably will. We've invited just about everybody.
Gracie, can I see you in the next room for a minute?
Well, of course, dear.
Gracie, I think it's time for the singing now. Gordon Cates has hogged the party long enough.
He certainly has, dancing with all the girls.
Well, believe me, I'll fix his wagon.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. He rumbles beautifully.
I mean, I'll show him up with my singing. Now, you go in there and ask for someone to sing. Then I'll single out Cates, and after he's squirmed for a while, I'll get up and slug him with this. Sons of toil and danger, you will serve.
Don't give it away.
Make it
no,
strong.
Don't give it away. Come on, let's go in. Quiet, everyone. Now, no party is complete without a little music. Would someone like to sing?
How about you, Cates?
Oh, no. No, George, not me.
Oh, come on. You're so talented. Let's hear you sing.
Oh, no, no, really, I...
Oh, please do, Gordon. I insist.
Yeah.
Well, if you say so, Mrs. Randolph, I'll do my best.
I can hardly wait.
Sons of toil and danger, will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy? Sons of shame and sorrow, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy? Onward, onward, swords against the foe! Howard, over the lily banners go! Sons of France around us, break those chains that bound us and be gone with Burgundy!
Try another sleeping capsule, George.
I've taken four. What time is it?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Here, I'll leave the capsules by your bed.
Where are you going?
Downstairs. Gordon Cates is still singing, and I want to hear it.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.